At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
I can't remain part of the mainstream Democratic Party when I listen to the cheering of death.
They're not allowed to say boy and girl, male and female. That's what's coming down the pike at us. You're simply kidding yourself if you think that that's a harmless set of pedagogical norms.
We are propagating secularism from our pulpits, and that's why secularism is on the rise.
What you need is not a ladder. What you need is a savior. What you need is not works. What you need is grace. You need forgiveness.
Everybody homeschoolers, follow me, she's et cetera.
The time has passed for looking out on the distant horizon, trying to detect the very kind of misty outline of a threat to religious liberty that may be way out there in the distance, but undeniably headed our way. The time for that has passed. The outlines are clear. The danger is not on the horizon, but growing closer and closer, and it's taking the form of proposed laws like SB 1146 in California. If you were following that law, it would have essentially denied any kind of subsidy to religious colleges if they held to their views, particularly on human sexuality and gender, that are dictated by their religious positions over against that which is being suggested and indeed even imposed by the government. Now, there's a little update to bring you on SB 1146. It has been changed, but still has a few of its teeth, and its threat to religious liberty remains, although a bit lessened. We're going to be talking about that with Joy Pullman here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois, live on this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Joy Pullman of The Federalist, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us for our series. It's a series we're doing on Pop American Christianity. Today we're going to talk about two things that must go together, original sin and what he's calling the for you-ness of biblical Christianity. Then Dr. Andrew Snelling joins us from Answers in Genesis. He's going to bring us his ideas on two recent NPR commentaries on evolution and creation. Pastor Peter Burfing joins us after that. We're going to talk about what he's noticed, the white male European roots of progressive and liberal ideology. Oh, those are just the ideas of white males, and those ideas happen to be the very foundation of progressive ideology. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites to play for you. You listen, and then you vote, 1-877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. You can also vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for an update on the California bill that threatens religious liberty of religious colleges, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the forthcoming book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column titled California Lawmaker Ends Bid to Erase Religious Colleges, Settles for Public Targeting. Joy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
What's the current status of this California bill, and is this a clear victory for religious liberty at religious colleges?
So the lawmaker who is the bill sponsor in California of Senate Bill 1146 changed the bill. So it used to be one that basically said that if colleges wanted to accept students who were taking with them any kind of government subsidies, grants, scholarships, student loans, they had to agree to essentially secularize. They would be open for lawsuits just from students criticizing them for their religious beliefs, saying, you know, I don't want to be in a girls-only dorm. I think men should be allowed in women's showers. I don't like chapel, so on and so forth. So he agreed to change the bill language from that into just requiring these universities to publicly reveal their policies related to these matters, as well as telling the state which students, they, if any, they had expelled over religious disagreements, students not conforming to the stated standards of the school.
So is that a clear victory?
Yeah, I actually don't think it's a clear victory. I think it's maybe a situation similar to, you know, you have a big splinter in your foot and you've dug the splinter out, but you still have a wound. And in fact, the bill sponsors kind of change to the bill mirrors what we're seeing nationwide at the federal level, with the Obama administration agreeing under pressure from LGBT activists to release the similar list of all the colleges which are predominantly, if not exclusively, religious, who have asked for exceptions from new interpretations of federal rules that require them, unless they have an exception, to let men into women's locker rooms, bathrooms, dorm housing, and so forth. So I don't know that it's really a clear win, but again, you know, it's better than a punch in the face.
The term that you use is targeting. Explain that a little bit, if you would.
So the way that he changed the bill still singles out religious universities and treats them as if they are negative influences on society, you know, such as they're subversive enough to need government monitoring. They can't have their own communities, can't police them. Students who were perhaps expelled for trivial reasons or reasons that don't actually relate to the faith that the school claims to profess. You know, there are ways for students like that to make their case in the public square to their faith bodies, to the various private religious organizations, you know, to their churches and networks of churches or their temples or synagogues and so forth. So he's basically saying, you know, I don't think that that existing mechanism is good enough. You know, I'm suspicious enough of religious institutions that I think the government needs to be monitoring their behavior and telling, putting these schools on notice that their faith contradicts with what the government thinks an education should be.
Do we have any idea why Senator Ricardo Lara decided to back down even to the extent that he did?
Yeah, so he introduced this bill several months ago this summer, and all summer long, religious liberty groups, churches, religious organizations, and colleges and students in California and across the country have mounted a sustained public relations campaign against it. And one of those includes noting, for example, that three-quarters of the students in California who are getting what are called Cal Grants are minority students, and of course, an absolute requirement for eligibility is family poverty. So they were making very public the fact that his bill was targeting the very most vulnerable populations of the state that ostensibly liberal Democratic lawmakers always say they want to help, you know, the poor, the minority, the disadvantaged students who of their own free will are choosing to take public money to a private religious institution. And part of that campaign was also noting that religious institutions have a far, far better track record, not only in general, but with specifically vulnerable people, of getting them to graduation, of getting them in a good job after graduation. So his bill's effects would be hurting the very people that he claims to have been championing.
There really is no doubt, at least insofar as Senator Lara is concerned, that he believes that religious viewpoints have no place in higher education.
But that seems to be the case. I mean, so according to his own statements, and as I think it was Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention who put on Twitter, basically the idea that this bill comes from a standpoint that says religion itself is discriminatory on the level of racial discrimination enshrined in slavery. So it's very hard to find a midpoint here where you have, I mean, in the vast majority of Americans are people of faith, and the major religions of the world, you know, teach things that this bill was designed to target, things about the difference between men and women, about appropriate sexual behavior, and so forth. So his stance is coming from one that basically says that the majority of Americans are bigots on the level of the pro-slavery forces in the South, you know, back in that era. It's a ridiculously extreme position, and I don't think a lot of people know that that is what the major proponents of these ideas are saying in the public square when they use nice-sounding words like diversity, inclusion, and discrimination.
If you were advising chancellors or boards of regents of religious colleges in California about whether or not, to, for lack of a better word, they can now let the guard down, what would you say to them?
I think they don't need me to tell them that they can't. The bill was, it had passed its committee, and I believe the state Senate. It was headed towards the House, And so it just barely got stopped because of an all of a sudden public relations campaign by the people affected by it. So it was not a minority bill that had little likelihood of passing. It was heading towards likely passage in California. So I'm sure that the university presidents in California, as well as the rest of us, you know, across the country who care about private institution strength that contributes to our social fabric, are paying attention to developments like this and what people of not just certain political parties, but also, you know, kind of leaders of certain thought movements in the country think about the majority of Americans who know that a strong religious faith is an integral part of having a strong society.
You used the term diversity there before, Joy, and I'd like you to just explain a little bit more. It is a euphemism employed by the LGBTQ community and their activists. What does it generally mean?
Well, I think it generally means kind of this weird sort of bean counting, which is, I don't know, I mean, to me it sounds a little racist itself, where you say, you know, you're only diverse if you have representatives from certain groups that are politically favored right now. So those include sexual minorities, those include racial minorities, but not all racial minorities, because Asians are almost always left out of these equations because they're model, you know, that ethnic subgroup of Americans are model. You know, they have high academic achievement, they have good, much better marriage success, so on and so forth. They are more likely, I think, you know, to start small businesses and so forth. Anyway, but it's kind of like this tally mark of, you know, if you tick off whatever, you know, boxes are on our little score sheet, that determines whether you deserve more help, more preference, more favor in government programs and social approval. And so rather than, you know, diversity being really what it is marketed as a strength, it tends to turn people against each other based on what I think are superficial characteristics. Because, you know, let's be honest, we're all people, no matter, you know, what color our skin is or, you know, what countries our family came from. You know, we're all Americans here, and we have shared values and we have a shared way of life that social science, if you look at the liberal sociologist Jonathan Haidt, he's done a lot of work recently in talking about how emphasizing our shared principles, our unity as human beings who are deserving of equal dignity, is a lot better for a society than emphasizing and weaponizing our differences to create political gain.
Joy, what is the likely future of this California bill?
It looks like right now it's probably likely to pass in its current form. So in the changed version, that kind of requires colleges to come forward and divulge their private practices to the public. But again, they are still allowed to keep the students that benefit from federal and state subsidies and so forth. So it looks like that is going to go forward in California, and it probably is a bellwether for what a number of other larger or heavily Democratic states are likely to do in the near future as well.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the forthcoming book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column titled California Lawmaker Ends Bid to Erase Religious Colleges, Settles for Public Targeting. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thanks for your time.
Why, thank you.
When we come back, our series on Pop American Christianity continues. Part two, we'll be talking about original sin and the 4U of biblical Christianity with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed?
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?